Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm still in the infancy of studying last year, and we'll identify some things as we get going, but certainly when you're talking about this job and this franchise and everything that goes with it, you think about the quarterback, and I think the sky's the limit for the kid.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
One of the attractive factors in taking the head coaching job with the Cleveland Browns, Kevin Stefanski, as a former offensive coordinator with the Vikings, gets the chance to work with and develop the talents of Baker Mayfield. So that's just one piece of it. There's plenty to like about the Browns lineup, even though this season was an unmitigated disaster, and even though ownership has started all over again. But maybe Stefanski is where this cycle of turnover and transition ends. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. We're pleased to welcome Daryl Ryder, who covers the Browns for our Cleveland affiliate, 92.3 The Fan. Daryl, let's start with Coach Stefanski. He's been on the job for just a few days now. What's your impression of the latest first-time head coach for Cleveland?
Well, I mean, this is what they do. They hire first-time coaches and unproven guys, and certainly Kevin comes to Cleveland with a pretty solid resume. He comes from an organization that is the antithesis of what the Cleveland Browns are, and that is a very stable building there up in Minneapolis, Minnesota. So first impressions, seems like a great guy. Seems like he's smart, very level-headed, very measured in his thinking and how he goes about things, a very favorable, positive first impression, I think, has been made on his in the short time that he's been on the job and a couple of times that we've had an opportunity to speak with him. But we said that about a lot of Browns coaches over the years about positive first impressions. So I think it's obviously way too premature to judge anything. They're still looking for his partner in crime, his general manager, but so far so good. And like I said, certainly has struck all the right notes as he's come to town.
Even without a general manager, Daryl, what do we know about who's actually in charge and calling these shots now?
Well, we are back to the Haslam ownership group calling the shots. Paul DePodesta is back to reporting to them. The general manager, whomever that ends up being, will be back reporting to them. Stefanski reports to them. And the thinking, though, is because that has been a very toxic setup. This would not be the first time that they've had this setup. But the other problem they've had is when they've gone away and given someone else the authority, go back all the way to when they first bought the team and Joe Banner, and then most recently, John Dorsey, putting him in charge of the head coach in the football operation and it not working out. To be fair to the Haslams, their trust has somewhat been violated. I mean, John Dorsey was given carte blanche to hire his coach last offseason. He gave them Freddie Kitchens, and that was just an unmitigated disaster this year, or this past season, rather. So I understand now why the Haslam's going back to the hands-on approach. And that's why Stefanski is intimately involved in this GM search, because their thought process is that if the head coach is in on the GM search, and the head coach is already in lockstep with Paul DePodesta, who has had tremendous influence over this organization from his beach house in San Diego, California, that there aren't going to be the problems that they've had in the past when everyone has answered ownership. And that is, of course, with all these factions whispering sweet nothings into Jimmy Haslam's ear and blaming other parties for why the franchise is not performing on the field.
Mm. Daryl Ryder covers the Browns for our Cleveland affiliate, 92.3 The Fan, with us here After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. So I'll just be honest, sarcasm is my love language, and I can hear that you are dripping with it. So I'm wondering, is your skepticism, indicative of what a good portion of the Cleveland fan base is feeling in the wake of yet another coaching regime turnover.
No, listen, Browns fans are on board with anything. You know, January, hope springs eternal. You get into draft talk and free agency and everything else. By the off season, by the middle of the off season here, when we get close to the summer, everyone's going to be ready to buy their playoff tickets again. That's just kind of the cycle of eternal optimism of Browns fans. You know, the reason why it's such a tongue in cheek approach is I've seen the song and dance so many times.
Right.
I've heard the same, alignment speeches and collaboration. And I've heard it all already. And I've heard it so many times. It's like, I'm giving it a fair shake. You know, Kevin Stefanski, he comes in with a clean slate. The new GM comes in with a clean slate. The Haslams get a clean slate. Let's see how long they can, stick with this plan now. So it's one of those things where I have no defense of the Haslams. What possibly can I tell Browns fans about how the Haslams operate this franchise to put them at ease that these people actually know what on earth they're doing? Because they have proven since 2013, they're clueless. They spent over $1 billion on a franchise. They don't know how to operate. And they've been, it's been trial by error for them. You know, when they bought the team from the Lerner family, because the Browns were the dreg of the NFL, I mean, they came in and they made this thing worse, which is incomprehensible to me that was even possible, that they made the worst franchise in the NFL even worse with the people that they've hired, those people letting them down and violating their trust, forcing them to make change after change after change after change. So, yeah, I'm critical of the Haslams, but I also understand each and every time why they've had to make these changes. The problem is the common denominator is the Haslams. Mm. The names on the door change, but they still own the team, and they're free to operate it however they want. But how they have operated it since 2013 has not worked. It's resulted in a historically awful stretch. The last 2 years have been palpable. They won 13 games, which is one shy of tying what they won the previous 5 years, and that's 14 games over 5 years. So, these last two seasons by Brown standards have been great. They won 7-6 games in back-to-back years. So by Brown standards, that's great. By NFL standards, that's terrible. Mm. But for a franchise that historically has won or averaged winning between 3 and 5 games per year since 1999, you at least feel like they're close, that they're really close to becoming one of the better teams in their division or in the conference and maybe contending in the NFL. But unfortunately, where the Browns are concerned, something always seems to get in their way.
And a lot of the talent or the positives then get masked by poor leadership. Daryl Ryder is with us from Cleveland. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. But let's try to accentuate the positive, shall we? Yeah. What reasons for optimism are there moving forward into 2020?
Well, the roster is ready to win now. I mean, it was ready to win last year under Freddie Kitchens, and that's why Freddie Kitchens is no longer here, and they made this change. Kevin Stefanski comes with a very strong, solid resume. He's considered a really good offensive mind, the type of personnel and packaging that he'd like to use in Minnesota certainly fits the personnel and the packages that the Browns can put on the field. So that's reason for optimism. Nick Chubb is coming off of one of the best rushing seasons in franchise history, over just shy of 1,500 yards. Odell Beckham Jr., despite his core muscle injury that he just had surgery for, did not miss a game last year, still caught for 1,000 yards. Jarvis Landry is in the Pro Bowl, caught for over 1,000 yards. That's the first time the Browns have ever had two wide receivers have 1,000-yard seasons, and then you throw in a running back that's over that mark. So they have some pieces and parts here, and if they make some quality moves in the offseason, fix the offensive line, maybe add a tight end, look at that defense. They could use a safety, maybe some depth on the defensive line and in the back defensive backfield there. I really think that they're positioned, much like they were last year, to do some great things in 2020.
How would you evaluate the season that Baker Mayfield had?
Well, it was underwhelming, no question about that. I think Baker Mayfield was a victim of some really terrible coaching. Again, that's why this staff is gone. He got his eyes opened a little bit that maybe this in the NFL isn't nearly as easy as he might have thought it to be. And you were talking about dipping for positive. Here's another positive. Baker Mayfield thrives off negativity. You know, going into last season, you know, Baker's the franchise quarterback. He's and he's doing all these commercials, and everyone loves Baker Mayfield and all the, you know, the covers they had. The Browns are back and all these things, right? Everyone's telling the Browns how great they are, including myself last offseason. And you know, they go out and go 6-10. Coach gets fired after a year. GM then gets fired. And, you know, here we are resetting everything again. Well, now this offseason is, well, the Browns are still the Browns. They still stink. Baker Mayfield stinks and whatnot. So I really think that this potentially could fuel Baker because everyone's off the bandwagon now. You know what I'm saying? And Baker seems to thrive when he's going up against that negativity. And what concerns me about him is that it's great. You know, he's got to find that medium, that happy medium that Tom Brady has, where, you know, Tom Brady still has the chip on his shoulder, but was able to win 6 Super Bowl rings, still might win some more. His career obviously isn't over, but Brady knows how to deal with success. Baker, we know he can deal with negativity. He's proven that his entire life, every level of football he has played, someone has told him he can't do it. We know the walk-on story in college, 2 colleges, he ends up winning the Heisman, number 1 pick, all those things, right? What we've not seen him do yet is be successful in positive time. Well, last year was his first opportunity to be successful with a lot of positive press going into a season, and he failed. This year, there's going to be negative press going into the season. Can you bounce back? You know, you had a sophomore slump, all these things, right? Couldn't complete 60% of your passes. You threw almost as many interceptions as you did touchdowns, right? There were going to be questions, you know, is he the franchise quarterback? Now I expect him to respond to that in a very positive fashion this coming year. But once things get going again in a positive direction, how does he handle that success? And I think that that's going to be something that he's going to have to really learn how to do because, you know, we're objective in the media. I know some people think that we're not, but, you know, when you're playing well, we're going to say you're playing well. And, you know, how does Baker handle those, you know, those pats on the back from reporters that he feels off of saying he can't play or he stinks?
Well, yeah. But the first issue, of course, is establishing the winning and the winning culture and then seeing how he deals with it. I guess that's the first step. All right. You can find Daryl on Twitter at RiterWrong, R-U-I-T-E-R, Wrong Fan, F-A-N, with our Cleveland affiliate 92.3 The Fan. I wonder how fans might handle the winning and the excitement as well. So that's something else that we'll get to for another day. But Daryl, it's good to talk to you. Thanks so much for a couple of minutes.
It won't be a problem in Cleveland.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.